This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
The economic toll from COVID-19 in farm country is enormous, and patience is growing thin for desperately needed help provided in the $2.2 trillion CARES Act passed in March. Ag and biofuels producers are confronting an economic crisis unlike anything rural America has seen in recent memory. American Farm Bureau Executive Director Dale Moore talks about a recent letter that AFB sent to Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue, urging top speed to help producers across the board.
Dairy farmers and dairy and milk prices, certainly in the livestock sector in general, beef, poultry, pork, all taking an impact there. Specialty crop growers, we know that they've been taking a hit. We've been hearing from our producers across the country, particularly those that have traditionally gone to restaurants and other food service. With that trade pretty much shut down, they're having a terrible impact on them. Cotton prices have fallen below 50 cents a pound. This is the lowest we've seen in cotton for more than a decade. Ethanols and biofuels.
Senate Finance Chairman Chuck Grassley of Iowa just sent a bipartisan letter to Secretary Perdue as well, urging rapid help for biofuels.
The loss of fuel demand has drastically hurt the biofuels industry, and corn prices have plummeted almost every day for the last 2 weeks. The decrease in fuel consumption has left production facilities little choice but to idle production, and in some cases, closed completely.
Growth Energy says biofuels firms are, quote, bleeding cash, losing 7 or 8 billion gallons annualized of ethanol demand, or the market for 2.7 billion bushels of corn. AFB's Moore says that's a race against the clock for producers.
It's hard to pinpoint and say how long they can hold on and how long this help will assist them. That's why we're encouraging the Secretary and willing to do whatever we need to help. The sooner we get this assistance out to farmers and ranchers and the specialty crop producers, the sooner we can figure out how is that assistance helping and what else do we need to be doing.
A fourth rescue package would likely give more help to businesses, individuals, states, cities, and towns as current demand swamps banks and federal agencies, which are already shoveling mountains of cash out the door. President Trump gave what could be, quote, called a qualified endorsement of China's attempts to meet its purchasing obligations under the new Phase One trade deal, while commenting on the measures that the government is taking to protect the U.S. economy. Agriculture came up in the conversation. The South China Morning Post quotes Trump as saying American farmers could expect to see some support from agricultural purchases that China will be making as part of the agreement. Quote, as of April 1st, it seems like China is buying, the president says. Quote, we'll let you know how that's going, but they're buying anywhere from $40 to $50 billion worth of our agricultural products, which will have a huge impact on our farmers. Trump is confident that China will follow through because, quote, I know and respect President Xi, and I think he'll honor the deal that China made with us. Without specifying who he talked to, Trump added, quote, in fact, I called up a while ago and asked how farmers are doing concerning China. Are they buying as anticipated? Trump says the answer was, yeah, I think so. He told reporters that the answer wasn't the most positive, but at least it was a starting point. In other news from the nation's capital, farmers and ranchers can apply for federal funding to help assist their operations through the COVID-19 pandemic. Michael Clemens has more with the American Farm Bureau.
Farmers and ranchers will have several aid programs available to help them through the COVID-19 pandemic, including programs under development by the Department of Agriculture and the Small Business Administration. American Farm Bureau Federation economist Veronica Nye says the CARES Act included funding specifically for agriculture.
There was a plus up in CCC funding to refill previous funding levels, There's also a $9.5 billion allotment that is to be used at USDA's discretion. In addition to the USDA funds, farmers can avail themselves of some programs available through the Small Business Administration.
Farmers are not eligible for the SBA Emergency Disaster Loan Program, but can apply for assistance through the Paycheck Protection Program.
This allows farmers and small businesses to be able to pay employees for an 8-week period during a range between February 15th and June 30th. So if you are a business with 500 employees or fewer, you're eligible for that program.
The $349 billion for the Paycheck Protection Program are allocated on a first-come, first-served basis. NYSA's farmers and ranchers can find resources to help them navigate the programs online.
If you go to sba.gov, you can find a local assistance location near you. It's important to know that the Paycheck Protection Program, you don't apply through SBA specifically. You actually apply through local approved lenders. But SBA is providing a lot of guidance on their website where you can get more information. And they also provide a list of approved local lenders.
Michael Clements, Washington.
And as I mentioned at the top of the news this morning, the ethanol industry is in an economic freefall as fuel demand drops because of COVID-19. Governments around the world are urging or requiring their citizens to stay at home as a means to help control the spread of coronavirus. The Capital Journal says as more and more individuals stay home, the demand for ethanol-blended gasoline continues to drop. The pandemic hit the ethanol industry at a time when it had already been struggling because of poor market conditions. The industry had already endured a trade war with China, a glut of oil production that sent ethanol prices tumbling, as well as waivers from the Environmental Protection Agency that helped refineries use less ethanol. Quote, the important context here is that a lot of this ethanol industry was hanging on by a string before the coronavirus hit, says Brian Jennings, CEO of the American Coalition for Ethanol. Quote, we're seeing an unprecedented demand destruction, and 2020 is likely going to be the bloodbath for the industry. The market upheaval has put thousands of ethanol jobs in jeopardy. It's also hurt the pocketbooks of the tens of thousands of farmers who provide the corn that ethanol plants use to make the biofuel and its byproducts, like dried distiller's grains, that are used to feed livestock on the end use and even in the process of making beer. The per-gallon price paid to ethanol producers dropped 37% from February to March. In other news from the USDA, the USDA's National Ag Statistics Service will be once again having to follow up work to do from the 2019 harvest. NAS will be contacting survey respondents in Michigan, Minnesota, South Dakota, and Wisconsin who had previously reported unharvested corn and/or soybean acreage. If the newly collected data makes any changes necessary, NAS will update the January 10th estimates in the May 12th crop production report. Stocks estimates are also subject to review since unharvested production is included in the estimate of on-farm stocks. While NAS originally surveyed producers in December for the crop production 2019 summary, there were significant unharvested acreage of corn in Michigan, Minnesota, South Dakota, North Dakota, and Wisconsin. And there were unharvested soybean acreage in Michigan, North Dakota, and Wisconsin. The unharvested acreage were included in the January 10th report. NAS had originally said it would resurvey producers in January. However, because it was not clear when producers would be able to get back into the field to finish harvest, the agency could not set a resurvey date until now. Since there is significant acreage left to harvest in North Dakota, producers there will be contacted at a later date. And in other news here on your Wednesday morning, as we all know, the coronavirus pandemic has seemingly affected every aspect of our lives. But did you know that it's even affecting how meteorologists predict the weather? It's true. The ongoing coronavirus pandemic is even affecting the weather. More specifically, it's hampering forecasters' ability to accurately predict the weather. Eric Snodgrass, chief atmospheric scientist with the Nutrien Ag Solutions, explains the substantial reduction in air traffic means less data for weather experts to work with.
So back on March 5th, from the aircraft flying all over the world, we were making daily around 900,000 separate observations from airplanes of weather variables. Many of them were in the crucial parts of the jet stream where the aircraft fly, especially over the open Pacific and over the open Atlantic, where we don't have any data other than satellite data or buoy data. Well, since the reduction in global air travel and the massive reduction in intercontinental flights, we are now down under 400,000 observations a day. So just imagine if you cut, you know, your total global observations by more than half. Well, we've kind of lost some of our ability to have a better handle on some of the longer-term stuff.
According to Snodgrass, the models used to forecast beyond a 10-day time period are struggling with a lack of data.
Oh, the models, every single day, they flip-flop. You get a new forecast for anything beyond about day 10, and it's maddening because you'll see a forecast and you'll see why the models are shaping it that way, and you'll say, well, based upon current observations, that is a plausible scenario. But then when the observations change the next day, all of a sudden you get a new solution. And so that's what it's really manifested itself when it comes to forecasting. That's the issue. A lot of flipping and flopping in the forecast.
In order to work around the sudden lack of data, forecasters are looking to past methods less reliant on the models. However, Snodgrass says they may not all be quite as exact in their prediction.
You know, it's pushed our limits on what we are capable of seeing. In other words, before numerical weather prediction, predicting the weather beyond just a couple of days was nearly impossible. Well, with some limitations now being put into place on the accuracy of numerical weather prediction, you know, it's making me a better meteorologist, make me make more fundamental decisions about the weather. What they are is they're not accurate. In other words, I'm not going to be able to say, oh, you know, in week two, Central Illinois is going to get 3/4 of an inch of rain. I'm going to have to just be able to say, hey, week two looks wet because the pattern looks like this. So we don't give you the numbers, but we can at least give you the ideas behind the weather.
The timing of these less accurate forecasts comes as operations across the Midwest begin for the spring planting season. That means farmers may want to watch the daily forecast even more closely than usual. And as farmers are faced with some tough marketing decisions as prices of commodity crops like corn and beans have tumbled, U of I ag economist Scott Irwin says if you can, it would be a good time to hold off on making a corn sale.
Well, at this point, probably the best thing that we can say is just hold on because we really don't think that this pandemic crisis is going to last, you know, another complete year. Hopefully, in 2 to 3 months, we're through the worst of it and we're beginning to see some recovery. And so that suggests that holding right now is probably the best strategy.
The record number of corn acres USDA reported that farmers are thinking about planting complicates this advice. However, it does make things a bit easier on the soybean side as fundamentals continue to turn in that crop's favor, says Irwin.
On one hand, soybeans benefit because of the reduction in ethanol production, because a co-product of ethanol production is DDGS, which is a substitute for soybean meal. It's also a substitute for corn in feed rations. But on net, there's clearly an expectation that soybean meal use is going to go up because of the problems in ethanol. And we're also seeing some port closures and some slowdowns in South America. China's starting to come back into the market. So relatively speaking, things probably are looking better for soybeans than corn and ethanol.
Not that things look great, just that they look better. You may read more from Scott Irwin about the ethanol and other topics on the Farm Doc Daily website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Moving on now to State Ag News here for your Wednesday, we have the latest crop progress and condition report to tell you about. There were 3.1 days suitable for field work during the week ending on Sunday. Statewide, the average temperature last week was 47.5 degrees. That's a half degree above normal. Precipitation averaged just 0.9 of an inch, or 0.7 of an inch below normal. Topsoil moisture supply was rated at 71% adequate and 29% surplus, while the subsoil moisture supply was rated 4% short, 67 adequate, and 29 surplus. Winter wheat condition thus far was rated at 4% very poor, 6% poor, 28% fair, 44% good, and 18% excellent. And as next week crop progress and condition report is released, there might be even some corn plantings in next week's report. And as some farmers across the state are starting to put corn in the ground, that means that things have dried out a bit in the last few weeks. But the National Weather Service says that trend won't be everlasting. James Auten with the National Weather Service office in Lincoln says things have dried out in recent weeks, but he says if you've got outdoor activities to be done, you need to take advantage of the nice days we have ahead.
What's going on is that we get some cooler air begin to move back into the area. We are looking for that 6 to 10 day outlook below normal temperatures for this time of year, so we're looking at through the middle of April. There could be some precip during that time frame, so above normal precipitation expected during that time frame. So even as you get into the weekend and next week, there's still a possibility we could get some precip on and off. Nothing looks severe at this time, only because it's going to be cooler. We're not going to be seeing the warmer temperatures that sometimes we get into the middle part of April. Then as we look beyond that into that 14-day outlook, 8 to 14-day outlook, still similar temperatures, cooler than normal, and precip slightly above normal as well. That 8 to 14 goes from April 13th through the 19th. And then when we start to look beyond that for the rest of the month, it does appear that even through first part of May, we're looking at below normal temperatures and precip. Precip should transition more to around normal by that time frame.
There are chances for severe weather in the north and eastern portions of the state this week, and Auten adds if you were hoping for a white Easter, those chances are not looking favorable, unlike a few years ago when we had snowfall on Easter Sunday. And moving on into other state ag news, and even some news here locally, this year is the 17th year of the Farm Credit Ag Scholarship Program, which has awarded a total of over $500,000 to 387 students since 2004, and $60,000 was awarded this year. Scholarship selections are based on a combination of academic achievement, participation and leadership in school and community organizations, and the applicant's commitment to an ag career. The following students were selected to receive a 2020 Farm Credit Illinois Ag Scholarship. 9 of the 30 are here in our WSMI listening area. They are Ann Becker of Jacksonville, who will be graduating from Jacksonville High, and then move on to attend Oklahoma State University to study ag leadership. Mackenzie Harmon of Morrisonville will be graduating from Morrisonville this spring. She'll then attend Lincoln Land Community College to study ag communications. Kelsey Knable of Pocahontas will be graduating from Highland High School this spring. She'll then attend Kaskaskia College to study ag. Reagan Cullenkamp of Carlinville will graduate from Carlinville High. Then he'll move on to the U of I at Champaign-Urbana to study ag and consumer economics, along with agribusiness, marketing, and management. Other students who received a Farm Credit Illinois scholarship are Carly Mettler of Highland. She'll graduate from Highland High this spring. Then she'll attend the U of I at Champaign-Urbana to study animal science. Tanner Mickey of Taylorville will be graduating from Taylorville. He'll then attend Lakeland College as an ag transfer. Samantha Miles of Loami will graduate from Waverly High. She'll then attend Kansas State to study ag economics, concentrating in international trade and development. Eric Schaefer of Awanico will graduate from Taylorville this spring. He'll then attend Butler Community College to study animal science. And Matlin Thornsbury of Shipman will be graduating from Southwestern High School, and then she'll then attend Lincoln Land Community College as an ag transfer. And again, those following 9 students in our listening area are recipients of the Farm Credit Illinois Ag Scholarship. And that concludes Ag News here for your Wednesday morning. But remember, if you have Ag News for us, those items can be sent to us at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Wednesday morning, April 8th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.